Our first guest this morning is Caroline Rodriguez. She is the Summit County Regional Transportation Planning Manager. She's here to give us an update on Jeremy Roundabout and the project that's starting there today. Mm-hmm. But let me just first ask if you can make a comment on this bus accident that had occurred on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I actually have no comment other than to say we're really glad that everyone's okay. If people have further inquiries, they should definitely contact Park City Municipal, and I'm sure the staff there would be happy to share some information with you.
Okay, thank you. So the roundabout project does start today. What does that look like for the people who use that area?
Yeah, so it's the detours, we haven't totally determined those yet, but starting today, people will see, they'll start to see things moving and staging for the construction for about the next 2 weeks. The park and ride will officially close next week. And what we're really working on this week is just getting the information out there once again, asking people to sign up to get construction updates because things are really fluid at this point.
Okay. And when you say sign up, what needs
to
happen?
So what we're asking is for people to send an email to info@letsgosummit.com. And all you need to do is send an email from your address and just put updates in the subject line. And then you'll be subscribed to all the construction updates, which will include detour updates and timelines and everything you need to know about navigating that intersection.
Okay. And this is an email update, not a text update.
It's an email update.
Okay. Okay. Now, the school's out, so yes. You don't have that traffic going on. And as far as the staging part goes, will there be certain areas, like, for instance, the park and ride? Is that a staging area?
Yes, the park and ride is a staging area. That's why it's closing to all other traffic as of next Monday.
Okay, and what happens for those who want to take the commuter line to Salt Lake City?
Yep,
or use
so
that?
We're still working on refining that alignment. But as of now, I would suggest parking at the Ecker Park and Ride to catch the PCSLC Connect. And I'm in touch with most of our regular riders, so they know they're waiting on final confirmation. But again, that information will also be sent out via email. And then anyone else interested can contact me directly.
Okay, and maybe you can keep us posted also
yes,
on that.
Yes, absolutely.
We can get that word out. Will there be another park and ride besides Ecker put in place? I mean, will you try to get one on the other side of the freeway?
No, Ecker has more than enough capacity at this point, so I don't see any problem in asking people to use that.
Okay. And just to kind of circle back as far as mitigation for East Canyon Creek and this project, are there any, what kind of concerns do you have about just protecting that waterway and that kind of thing?
So the project team has worked really hard to address all of those issues, and I don't foresee any concerns with that. That's all part of the project planning.
Okay, okay. And there has been a lot of talk about biker, walker-friendly roundabouts mm-hmm. and how to deal with that change in the
yes,
in the
of
area,
course.
making that crossing a safe place. How is that looking, and what can people expect with that?
Well,
not only just during construction, but then also the final resulting
sure.
project.
I think what we've seen is that, you know, with roundabouts, we do the best we can to design them to be safe for all users, whether you're a driver, walker, biker. And first of all, we talk about education and educating people how to use them safely and just making sure that both drivers and pedestrians and bikers are aware of their surroundings and following all the rules of the road. And that's really what we're doing here. I mean, we see them operate all over the valley and in other places and work successfully there.
Okay, so the crossing, the sidewalk that goes under the overpass right mm-hmm. now, will that remain open
yes.
during the roundabout construction?
Not during the construction. It will be open during parts of the construction, but not the whole time. You know, we have to keep people safe. So again, the best way to know if it's going to be open is to sign up for those updates. And if the walkway is going to close, then you'll know through via the updates.
Okay. Will there be certain times throughout this next many months, will there be times where there will not be a pedestrian crossing available to people in that area?
You know, I don't know the details on that, but I'm assuming the answer is yes. But again, sorry to keep sending home with this, but you really got to sign up for those updates because, as I said, it's so fluid and the construction schedule is so compressed that there's going to be a lot of work compressed into a few months. And so things change very quickly.
And what is the expected completion date?
It's winter this year.
Winter. Mm-hmm. Well, that depends, I guess, on when winter comes. Or
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of shooting for November, December mm-hmm. type of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. So there will be construction that goes through the school
yes.
start dates yep. in August, obviously. That's got to add a whole other complexity to things.
It does, but we're prepared. You know, this isn't a surprise to us. We've been, there's been a need for this construction for quite a while, and we've been planning for this, so.
Okay, great. Anything else you want to say about just the launch of construction starting today? And the park and ride closing by next week. So it will mm-hmm. run through this week,
yes.
Jeremy. And that lot is full.
That lot is full daily, yes.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I want to add is just that I really appreciate everyone's patience with both the planning team and the construction team. And I'm acknowledging that residents, that they know this is a need and they're willing to put up with a pretty compressed schedule. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Has there been a project out there where two roundabouts have been installed in this kind of time frame?
If there is, I don't know about it, but I'm not a construction person, so.
Okay. And you're not smiling over that remark either. So let's talk about bike share.
Sure.
What's the update on bike share for the county?
So we're really excited. This is our third season of bike share, and this season we're adding 10 more stations. It will be 11 more stations once the Jeremy project is complete. So we'll have a total of 20 bike share stations. We will have 190 bikes on the street. And with those additions, we're getting close to meeting the need we identified in the feasibility study.
Okay. And the Jeremy station, where will that be?
That will ultimately be in the reconstructed park and ride.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that probably won't go until next spring.
Correct.
Realistically.
Yep. They'll pour the cement and get it all ready, but the actual station components won't be installed until next year.
I'm not a user of the electric bikes. I like to still pedal
sure.
as long as I'm able. And I'm just wondering, is there a way for people to know how many bikes are at a particular station so that they can rely on that? That
yes.
they're gonna. Okay.
You can download the Summit Bike Share app. And you can also go to summitbikeshare.com, the website, and those will tell you how many bikes are at each station in real time.
Real time. So mm-hmm. it's pretty much,
yes.
you know, if I want to go get one at the transit center, I look it up.
Yes.
If it says there are four there, there would be four there.
Unless it takes you 30 minutes and there's a likelihood that somebody will check them out, because as we've seen, once those bikes are there and charged, people check them out pretty quickly.
Okay. They're that kind of turnover
yes.
is the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have any feedback on whether we're local usage, tourist usage, are people using it as almost like a ride kind of thing, or is it being used as a system to get around?
It certainly is being used as a system to get around based on the average trip distance. We know that people are using them to get, from Kimball Junction to the canyons and then from canyons into town. We have the origins and destinations, so we've seen a lot of those trips.
Okay, and you're able to determine based on the pay stations and who's using it and the credit card information?
Actually, we don't review the credit card information because we don't really want to get into pouring through people's personal information, but what we do have are the GPS coordinates for each bike.
Okay, and that can tell you mm-hmm. whether or not, basically, overall, whether
yep.
or not it's used
yep.
as a transit tool.
And the coordinates ping every couple of seconds, so it's pretty detailed.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. It would be kind of this is the third season, so you're
yes.
going to really start to compile some data about
yes.
that.
Yes, exactly.
Once we get through this season, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
So let's talk about scooter rentals. The,
sure.
The county has determined, they've basically put together code that says a commercial scooter rental business is not going to be able to set up here in Park City. But why? Why are scooters different from bikes?
Yeah. So just to clarify, it's a scooter share, and it doesn't. This applies to unincorporated Summit County. It doesn't apply to Park City Municipal. We allow them to put their own land use codes in, but for us in the county, there was a few factors that played into this. Number one, they're very hard to regulate unless you have a dedicated staff who's monitoring and doing inspections and understanding exactly what's going on the ground at all times. And we just don't have the staff bandwidth to do that, to make it successful and safe for everybody. We also have very limited geography, and we were very concerned about, with these scooter shares we've seen in almost every other jurisdiction, that they're left on the sidewalk, they're left in the street, the scooters are left in people's yards. And, you know, the approach we took with the bike share is we went with docks because we wanted to be able to dictate where people could leave the bikes. If we're talking about a dockless electric scooter sharing, we really don't have the power to say you can't leave a scooter in the middle of the sidewalk, making it unusable for everyone else. So that's a big motivation behind doing that, just keeping the streets and sidewalks and paths clear.
Okay, so are the scooter share systems, are they only offered in a dockless variety, or are there systems that would require that the scooter be docked in a specified area?
Well, so that depends, you know. For example, I know Salt Lake City, they took the approach where they were creating corrals for scooters and zones where the scooters could be left. But because there's no enforcement, the scooters are left everywhere. On the other side, you know, we don't have the funds as the county to create those docks and corrals and places to leave scooters. And we don't have a good methodology in place for calculating that cost and then saying, yes, we will license you, but this is the cost for the infrastructure to corral all your scooters. And so when you start to look at all of the different reasons, it really started, you know, the negative impacts sort of outweighed the benefits, especially because we're definitely not saying people can't own their own e-scooters and use those. We're just saying these companies that sort of come in, drop scooters, and maybe don't have any staff on the ground, that doesn't work for us at this point.
Mm-hmm. It partly due to just how sprawling the county is.
Yeah.
I mean, basically.
Yeah, that's another layer to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about? Any focus areas for the remainder of the summer season?
I think, you know, what we're trying to do over the summer is we're really focusing on the Community Development Department's Kimball Junction Master Plan and looking at how transportation plays such an important role in that, and how we can move together to achieve council's goals through all of these various planning efforts that we're going through.
Okay. And when do we expect a final approval of a master plan or redevelopment?
I don't know
plan.
When the final approval is, but I believe that the Community Development Department and County Council are holding a public hearing in the next couple of weeks, and I would encourage people to check the Summit County Council Agenda Center to see when that public hearing is. We love participation, and we'd love for people to show up and give their thoughts.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Caroline Rodriguez.
Thank She's you so much.
Transportation and Planning Manager from Summit County. Appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we're back with the local news hour, and my next guest is Volker Ritzinger. This is summertime. It's here officially. Well, soon officially. We have no snow in the forecast right now. And we have Volker here in the studio. The seasonal farmers market is beginning on Wednesday. And the original founder and director for the market, Volker, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And also a bread maker out of Camas.
Yes.
Sure, many, many people are familiar with your breads. And it looks like a great week to kick off the farmer's market.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Finally, you know, the sun's out and the frost is gone. We had the last frost, I hope, you know, Saturday night. It was cold over there in Camas, 28 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be a great year. My farmers, I was talking to some of them the past week, and it's the best crop they had, you know, for cherries and apricots. And a lot of pollination. The peas are on the comeback. We have a lot of pollination this year on all the trees in Utah. And it's going to be an awesome season. And in 2 weeks, we'll have the first crop of cherries. This first Wednesday, we'll have strawberries from the Weeks farm up in Logan. They're ready with their new tunneling system. They grow everything indoors. And we have a lot of greens and a lot of good stuff already the first week.
Okay, so there are real farmers market items.
Yes, and that's why we're a little bit later this year. We usually start a week earlier, but we delayed it a little bit just because the long, winter
cool.
and there's lots of snow and lots of rain. But the farmers are ready and we'll have all the greens and all kinds of stuff
for great.
Wednesday.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the other vendors that you have there, because there are artisans and craftspeople and music and food and...
Yeah, we have. Yeah. We have a lot of new people, a lot of craft vendors, and I was out in the farmers markets all over Utah, and if I see something cool, I go and recruit them. I go with my bread and do about 20 different farmers markets, and then I walk around in the markets and I look at all the vendors, and if I see something really unique, I go out there, recruit them for Park City. We want to bring the best, the coolest stuff, the best fruit, the most organic grown vegetables to Park City. That's our goal, and that's my...
Okay. Now, let's talk about where you're located, because this year will be the second year. Last year, you moved the market back into town, which it used to be here a long time ago.
Yeah, that's where we exactly
ago,
started, is at the Silver King parking lot.
Sure.
22 years back. 22
years. Okay.
And then we moved to the Canyons, which is a great location because it serves the people at that junction as well as the people from Park City. Everybody can meet halfway. But for some reason, there was some construction going on last year at the Canyons, so we had to find a different location in Vail. We have a great relationship with Vail. They gave us another parking lot, and it worked out great last year. We wanted to go back to the Canyons. That didn't happen this year. Maybe next year, because there's a lot of, parking lots got sold, and we don't know. The future of the market location is uncertain with all the construction and everybody, selling their big parking lots. And we need a lot of room, and it's not that easy.
Yeah. So what would be your options if you didn't have these big parking lots?
Well, we really wouldn't have an option. We would have to shrink the market down to a few street vendors or something, But we looked into Richardson Flats, here. And then we were told there's no special event out there. It's on county grounds. The city paid for the paving and all that. And it was kind of a red tape, but we need to work on that because it is built with Summit County tax dollars, and we would like to see the market out there in Richardson Flats.
Okay, and there's no special event?
As of now, but I think, we can change things, and we need to work on that because this is a great location for people all over for Summit County, Wasatch County. People from Heber can get off on that road and get over there and see the market and come shop. People going to Camas, people from Park City come out there from the junction coming in, be a great location for the farmers market.
Yeah.
So we're looking in the future maybe something like that, and maybe we can change that. The Summit, the county, we were told from the county that would be an option, but then the city has the final say. But we're working on the details.
Okay.
There's always
room
for change and improvement.
And this is going to be next year because Vail is starting their project now next year at the base of the town park.
Yeah, so we need to plan ahead, and we're starting to look at different options. And, we also could go to the outlets they want us out there. That's not true with the traffic, if that's going to work out with that roundabout there and all that. We create some traffic, and there's a lot of people coming to the market. We have to find the ultimate location, and we're working on that very hard.
Yeah, so what about, we're talking all parking lots, this macadam base type of thing. So what are there green spaces where
beautiful if the farmer's market can maybe have an investor or something and find a lot that could be used for the next 10 years and then sooner or later, got developed or whatever. But it'd be great to have a green lot. But, the real estate price is just... it's almost impossible to find something where you can put the market. If anybody has an idea, we're always welcome for ideas.
What about the hours of operation?
Will stay the same from 12 to 5 o'clock. So people can come to lunch and get the stuff, and then after work at 4, they can still get there and get their stuff.
Okay. Pizza oven will be there.
The bread will be there. A lot of good other vendors, a lot of, fresh eggs and all the stuff. We'll have it all.
Yeah, yeah. And will the fresh eggs be available this week?
Yeah. We'll have guys coming from all over.
Right, for those of us who know about fresh eggs.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Anything
we're
else?
Excited.
Anything else you want to say, Volker?
No, we just don't want to make sure that everybody comes out and supports the farmer's market, and gets... it's the best food we provide. We try to bring in really the most natural grown. We kind of stay away from the word organic because it's hard to qualify people. But, the most natural grown. We go inspect all the farmers. We want people to come and get the good locally grown food.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having us. Okay.
My next guest is Abby McNulty. She is the executive director for the Park City Education Foundation. Welcome. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So graduation is done. School's out.
Yes.
It's a really great chance to talk about some of the successes of the year with the Ed Foundation. But let's start off talking about the Running with Ed event this year. It was bigger than ever.
We had over 1,500 runners. We had hundreds of students running, hundreds of teachers running. We raised the most money we've ever raised. And all of those funds get invested back into programs in Park City School District in our 7 public schools.
And how much did you raise?
We raised about $280,000. Yeah.
Okay. And is all that money allocated for next year already?
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Yeah.
Okay. And the programs that are going to be the recipients, do they know?
Yes.
Do the teachers know and the schools know?
Yes. So for the Education Foundation, just like teachers and students and parents, it's a mad dash at the end of the year to finish raising all of our funds and then making sure that teachers know what they have so they can hit the ground running when school is back in August.
Yeah. Hit the ground running.
Yes.
No pun intended.
Right.
So, yeah, the $280,000. And it was an event for everybody, though.
I mean, so fun. Yes. You ran, right?
I did. Yeah. We KPCW had a team. I loved the little Pac-Man preschoolers that met us at, was it at Trailside? I can't even remember where it was. But just, I mean, little kids. Old people,
yes,
like us.
Totally. It's everyone. It's a race for everyone because it's just a celebration of this community and the wonderful people in this community and how beautiful our trails are and our teachers and our students. And this year, my team, we had 10 kids and 5 adults. And so I got to run every leg with a kid, ranging from 6 to 14. And it was so fun to see it through their eyes.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, really great. And not fantastic weather, but the turnout was not hampered at all.
Right. It's, every year running with that, it's either raining, snowing, or really hot. Yeah. So
the funds, let's talk about some of the focus areas where those monies are going.
Okay.
So you have created some amazing opportunities for like Park City High School robotics students.
Yep.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that and the event that our students attended?
Sure. So every spring, at the end of school, we look at the wonderful things that our seniors are doing, graduating and off to these amazing places and exploring their passions. And so every spring, we take a look at what some of our high school seniors have accomplished. And one of the groups that has done amazing things this year is high school robotics. That's a program that started not too long ago and quickly ballooned. They have 60 kids, and they sent 3 teams to the world championship this year. No community in the United States, I think possibly the world, has sent 3 teams to Worlds.
So, and they have to qualify for that.
Yeah, yes, they have to qualify. Okay. They have to be invited. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so they came to our board meeting at the end of May just so we could hear about how their experience and what they thought of it. And, I mean, these kids are just talking about the collaboration and the communication and all these things that we want our kids to have to not only enter college but the workforce, what we're all looking for in a great employee or people who teamwork. And these kids embody that. They talked about gracious professionalism and what that means to them. And they volunteer their hours at McPullen After School Program in the Ronald McDonald House to teach younger kids how to program and how to build robots. So it was really very powerful.
So we have elementary age kids programming.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the programs that the Ed Foundation also supports.
Coding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Coding.
Computer programming.
So what does that look like for an 8-year-old to be coding? I mean, what are they doing?
Yeah, so it's actually, they start in kindergarten, and the program is now rolling up to Ecker Hill, 6th grade. But it's also, all the teachers that work in computer science and coding are working together K-12 to create one large, robust computer science program initiative. And So as in the elementary grades, it can look like for a kindergartner who's 6 years old, they're programming something called B-bots, which are these little bee robots. And they're programming them to move along a pathway, like a map. So the goal of working with kids that young is really to teach them about logical thinking and sequence. And I was just reading an article this morning. A computer science teacher was talking about how doing dance choreography is also teaching that sequence and algorithms and logical thinking. And so I have seen that too here in Park City School District. Not all computer science is on the computer. Some of it is done totally away from the computer, just how you think and logically and sequentially. And one of the tools that they use is how do you choreograph a dance?
It's a Monday morning word.
Yes. Yeah. And so these kids are teaching their peers, one step forward, like one step to the right, do a circle. And that is like a tangible way to think about what kids are learning in coding.
Okay. And then after it gets rolled out at Ecker Hill, does it move on to Treasure?
Yeah. So there's computer science classes at Treasure in the high school.
Okay. And that sort of picks up where Ecker would leave off then.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Park City Ed Foundation and the Park City High School hosted a panel conversation, and it was designed for graduating seniors, and it was called The Art of the Possible. There were six panelists. Experts in their fields. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Event? This was an initiative with the high school principal, Roger Arbabi. He came to us and said he thought it would be a really great opportunity to reach to the seniors once they're done with testing, with conversations about the workforce and what employers are looking for today. And so six professionals came to talk to high school students for about 2 hours. And these are all very successful CEOs and CMOs, and talking about what made them successful and what makes you successful in the workforce today. And they really talked about passion and drive and saying yes and showing up and being the best version of yourself.
Okay. And were they local?
All people? Local, yes. All local. Some with children in the Park City School District. It was really a very wonderful, very inspiring panel discussion. As I sat there and there was so much that I personally took away. Just, how you put your best foot forward and how you're always open to opportunities and the importance of communication and collaboration and, what makes work really enjoyable is the team of people that you surround yourself with. And it was really life lessons, not just work lessons.
Yeah. And how did they do this? It was after testing was finished. And then what was it? Invitation? Was it, did they go from class to class? What was it?
It was a panel conversation in the Eccles. There were six presenters and a moderator. Lonnie Main was the moderator. And all seniors were attended. And so it was, during second period,
right.
The 9:15 time slot, whatever that is.
So like a senior assembly.
It was like a senior, yes, exactly, a senior assembly.
Great. And will that be returning next year? It sounds like it was the first time it's been
done. It was the first time it's ever been done, and I thought it was really very valuable. And so one of the things that we do at the Ed Foundation is we meet over the summer with every principal of all the schools and talk about what worked, what didn't work, and how we can support them in the upcoming school year. So we'll have that conversation with Roger or Bobby.
Well, and I almost wonder, too, if it would be beneficial for students, seniors, to see that early in the school year.
Other people mentioned that, too. Yes.
That it could be a thing to be pondering as they move through their senior year.
Yes. We did hear feedback that perhaps the fall would be a better time slot, but for the Education Foundation, that's a really busy time for us, too. So.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on. So Rebecca Gonzalez, Community Impact Scholarship, funded by a donor and distributed by the Park City Ed Foundation. What is this?
So this is a, as you know, the Bright Futures program is just concluded its third year, and that program is to help students, first generation college students, get to and through college. So we had our first group of students graduate from Park City High School this May 31st, and a donor stepped up to provide one of those students with a $10,000 a year college scholarship, and they named it the Rebecca Gonzalez Community Impact Scholarship for all of the work she has done in Park City to honor her.
Was this a surprise?
Yes.
Okay.
A big surprise.
And when did when did that happen?
It happened this spring, and it was distributed at the community scholarship event that the high school hosts May 29th.
Okay. And that $10,000 is available to that one student.
To one student.
Mm-hmm. All the way through.
Every year for 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And are you able to say who received it?
Yes, Chris Mora was the recipient of the scholarship.
Okay.
And he is off to Westminster, and he is studying nursing.
Okay. Was it the kind of thing that students applied for?
Yes, it was a very rigorous application. You had to apply and meet very specific criteria. And one of the most important criteria was the student's commitment to serving their community.
Hmm. Okay, so there are some obligations tied to that.
There's yes, obligations tied to it, as well as every year they have to reach certain criteria to get the annual contribution.
And the Ed Foundation is distributing that scholarship.
That's
so
right.
You're sort of managing it.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. Well, you have to keep us posted about the projects he works on.
Absolutely. I know. Chris is a volunteer at People's Health Clinic, so I imagine he'll continue to serve there too.
Okay. Great. Anything else you want to say? We're going to have to wrap it up.
I'll just say there were 13 students who graduated from the Bright Futures program, who graduated from Park City High School this year. And part of the Bright Futures program is also to award them with a scholarship. They were each given a total of $6,000 for their 4 years of school. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to college in-state, Westminster, University of Utah, Utah State. So it's a really exciting, wonderful program, and we look forward to celebrating those students' achievements.
Yeah. And is the Bright Futures program full for next year?
They have recruited their class, for the incoming 10th graders, and they'll have Summer Academy this summer.
And there is a cohort of 11th graders coming into senior year.
Correct.
Who are also going to be moving along. This program is here to stay?
It's here to stay. And so next year there will be 10th, 11th, 12th, and first-year college students in the program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Keep us updated on that, too. Thank you. That's Abby McNulty. I appreciate you coming in
Thank
this
you.
Morning. She is the executive director with the Park City Ed Foundation.